This kind of updates the Sega. Redo it.
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it. These babies just saved this lame fest party.
What's going on? You are listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am your host, the lead this week, Mike the Birdman Doll, but I'm not alone as we trek down the roads of the dumb, stupid, and occasionally entertaining. I'm joined with, on my right,
Alex.
Mr. Christopher.
That's right, guys. We are back here. Hopefully you've had a safe and happy Canada Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, if you happen to be American. Hopefully you're enjoying the World Cup celebrations going on around the world. Although I don't hear the sound of those weird instruments from a couple years
ago. Yeah, no vuvuzelas this year, which has been nice. You'd get to watch it without hearing for the entire match. The highlights of this week have been Brazil being eliminated. A lot of people are happy about this because Neymar, who has become famous outside of soccer simply because he exemplifies everything that's wrong with the whole diving concept in football.
I take it he gets hurt a lot?
He's the biggest diver of the current modern
Is he the football. Submariner?
pretty much.
Nicknamed Neymar.
You touch him at all, and he just falls around, falls down and rolls around for 5 minutes at a time. The most recent game against Belgium, a lot of Belgian fans had kind of all agreed as a whole to play a drinking game. Every time he fell down, every time Neymar fell down, they would all finish their beer.
There should be
so
a penalty.
So I'd imagine there's
like
a lot of alcoholism happening.
The penalty should be you have to play with rugby players. Every time you fake it, a rugby player gets to tackle you.
Yeah, enjoy it, bitch.
And those, especially, no, I'm sorry, an Australian rugby player, and those guys don't fuck around.
Yeah, those guys are built like tanks. Because, well, they pretty much are.
Well, they have to be. They live in Australia.
Exactly, where everything is out to murder you.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of what else is going on this week. Let me see. Finally, this massive heat wave that we experienced has finally broken this past week.
For a
in Ontario,
bit.
Anyway.
For a little bit, yeah.
It's been a bad one. A lot of Canada is suffering from this one, on the eastern half especially. There have been a few dozen deaths now, I think, mostly in Quebec.
Quebec, yeah, like 33 was the last I looked.
It's been insane. And a lot of people, it's sparking a lot of conversation about climate change and global warming and everything. And there is a difference between climate change and weather. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of an example of what we can expect going forward with the climate the way it's been now.
Yeah,
I almost don't even want to call it like climate change or anything. It's just the trend is things are getting hotter in the summer and colder in the winter.
The average global temperature is up every year for the last like 20 years straight.
And when I say colder, we have a few days that are colder than they've ever been, and the rest, because of the temperature being a little warmer, has left us with icy roads more than I remember ever.
Yeah, the weather is becoming more intense. There's more significant weather events happening in all seasons. But that's part of climate change, is because everything's changing in the weather patterns around the world, there's more energy being fed into these weather systems, so they're becoming more intense and a lot more scary.
I'm actually surprised we haven't seen a more active hurricane season this year down south, because normally you'd get like the big Hurricane Katrina's or Hurricane Andrew's, if you remember that happened way back in the 90s. Stuff like that.
You know what I'm thinking? We've been talking about, you know, climate change for such a long time now. What, about 15 years?
It's been at least.
It's been on the radar of like mainstream media.
Yeah, globally known.
The big change I saw was, remember we had that thunderstorm? Like, when I say thunder, I mean like lightning storm about, what, 5-6 years ago? Where it was, the sky was purple.
I remember that.
I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And the sky was purple, and it wasn't just lightning coming down from the sky. It was like arcing in the midair. You could see the static in the air. And that was something I had never seen before in real life. I'd seen it in, like, movies or...
Like ball lightning.
But even then, it was, like, the air was lighting up. It was pink and purple light all for, like, 4 hours where it was like you were flicking a switch on and off and you didn't hear any actual, like, thunder.
Yeah.
It was just lightning.
Heat lightning.
And while it was happening, the power didn't go out or anything, but it was teeming rain down. Like, you know when it gets really foggy and you get that sort of orange amber light?
Yeah.
It was like that, but purple.
I remember there actually was a phenomenon that's happened in Toronto. Speaking of the orange light, there was so much light from the city. The entire city at midnight was like daylight because it was just all the light reflecting off the clouds and it was just orange.
Yeah, the clouds are hanging so low and there's so much city light that it just bathes everything.
It's, you know, screw inconvenient truth and all that crap. About 5-6 years ago is when I think I started to notice that we were progressively getting hotter and hotter summers with less and less rain.
Yeah, it's been extremely dry for quite a long time.
We had one summer where we had more rain in between there, but it was not more, I'm saying in quotes, as in like more than usual. It was the normal amount of rain we used to always get. Did you notice that we only had maybe 2 days of rain this entire April and May?
Yeah, it's been extremely dry this year. The storms that we're getting are short but very strong, and then there's weeks in between where there's almost no rain at all.
Yeah, like, for example, I took my wheelchair out yesterday for a drive, and I expected the ground to be soaked because we had this big rainstorm. No, it was, the air temperature was so pleasant that the ground was bone dry, incredibly dry already.
And with the water table likely being almost nothing, mm-hmm. it probably got sucked into the ground in no time because there's no moisture to compete with.
Yeah, it's weird. Just, I don't know, man. Scary times that we're definitely living in. So coming up on the show this week for you, the wonderful people that we are, we actually have a special news segment this week. We had a friend of ours visit us from the States, our friend Jennifer McMiler. She's going to be joining us for an extended conversation later in the show, talking about her experiences in Canada, exposing her to Canadian media. But also, we have reviews of the new Gundam Breaker game from Bandai Namco. We're also going to be taking a look at yet another video game later on in the show, Lego Incredibles from Warner Brothers and Telltale. Traveler's Tales? Yeah, Traveler's Tales does the Lego games, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, it's Warner Brothers.
Similar sounding names, very different styles.
I'd like to see a Telltale Lego game.
That might actually be kind of fun, depending on how you approach it. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. We also have our usual weird news roundup. And our usual news roundup. We're also going to talk about a conversation I had earlier this week with Ed the Sock and Leanna Kay, talking about their Indiegogo for the FU Network. We're going to talk about some of our thoughts about Much Music and what this could potentially mean for the Canadian media landscape. So make sure you keep it locked here to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I've been your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Mr. Christopher and Alice, the producer. We'll be back, guys, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. We are taking a look at New Gundam Breaker, available from Bandai Namco on the PlayStation 4. And this game is... How does one describe literally indescribable disappointment? Well, to give you a background, what is New Gundam Breaker? Well, Gunpla, I think that's how you pronounce it, is the art of building Gundam models in Japan, where you take the Gundam model kits made of plastic or even sometimes metal, I think, and you put them together, and sometimes you can customize these things to create new Gundams or create existing Gundams with maybe some cool modifications, like maybe, I don't know, having the Death-sized Hell's wings on, I don't know, maybe Gundam AGX. There's so many Gundam series, literally you can mix and match the parts and do whatever the hell you want. But New Gundam Breaker attempts to break new ground by combining the Gunpla, the Gundam building and battling system, which the series is known for, but combines it with a visual novel, with romance. And it's... indescribably stupid. I cannot tell you how confused and lost I was. Now, I will admit, this is the first time I've played a Gundam Breaker game, and I know this was supposed to be a new direction for the series by giving it an actual story mode instead of just battling, building, and customizing, but what I got here was a confusing mess. The actual gameplay itself, and you're actually fighting these 3-on-3 battles on the field. Now, you can switch parts out on the fly, like maybe you grab a Zaku arm, or maybe a Dawn helmet or something like that, and you can put that on your existing RX-78, I think it is, and you can knock other parts and steal them. But other times you have to run and break crates or kill so many enemies, or if you want to keep a part, you have to run it back to a box. And it's just so goofy and dumb. I couldn't get past it. And even the visual novel romance stuff falls into these tropes, and you're at this new Gunpla Academy High School, which focuses exclusively on battling, which means you're supposed to be the best of the best, sort of. Think of it as Top Gun, but for model building geeks. And it's just, it's a mess, man. I really wish there was something really positive to say about this game. However, I will say this. When you actually get into the Gunpla customization, it is actually kind of cool seeing all these models in high-res detail, being able to customize what parts can enhance stats and everything, but also just putting little pieces where you don't think they belong and whatnot. It's an experience I wish I enjoyed a lot more other than actually doing it myself. The only Gundams I've ever built is I built an Epion, I built a Deathscythe Hell, and I built a Heavy Arms. As you can tell, I'm a Gundam Wing kind of guy, so you can tell I grew up in the 90s, but I got nothing but excessive amounts of disappointment from this game, simply because I don't have the background in the Gundam series I think I need to appreciate a game like this. But even having that background, how do you defeat disappointment from messy gameplay where the camera literally fights you, it might as well be the fourth player on the field, to a storyline that's convoluted and dumb? New Gundam Breaker on the PlayStation 4 is a disappointment. I don't recommend you play it. In fact, if you even try to play this game online, I sat in a lobby for this 3-on-3 battler. I let it sit for about 15 minutes. I found three people in the world. This does not bode well. So anyway, guys, that is my review of New Gundam Breaker from Bandai Namco. Most definitely avoid this. Drop a colony on it if you want, and maybe give it a good old beam saber to the face. Welcome back to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. And this week, we're going to start things off on a bit of a sad note. As you may have heard in the news recently, Marvel artist and comic book creator legend Steve Ditko passed away at the age of 90. His influence has definitely been felt among such characters such as Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. I'm pretty sure he wrote stuff like Tales to Astonish. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about Ditko simply because we do not know a lot of his history to speak to him to the level of respect that he deserves. However, despite the fact that this man was a geek icon for so many years, I'd like to encourage you, if you're going out to a local convention or San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con coming up in the fall, take the time to go to Artist Alley. Visit the artists that you might not think to. Like, go visit your Neil Adams. Go visit people like that. Shake their hands. Thank them for their contributions to the industry, etc., etc., because you don't know when these people will be gone. And artists like this appreciate that. You don't always have to buy a print off them to say thank you. Just a handshake, a quick story, and a hug, even, can go a long way.
Basically, search out the people with gray hair, because they might not be there.
You don't know.
So explore somebody you may not have even known. Just take the time. Don't just search out, you know, the people that are your favorites.
Yeah, like, don't look for your Jim Lees, your George Perez's, stuff like
you
that.
Know, go there and go and find somebody you've never heard of and see what they've done.
Yeah, like,
get the exploration for new artists that you might not know already, and maybe you'll discover that they've made something that you enjoy, but you had no idea who was responsible for it.
Yeah, for example, one artist I wish I'd visited when I had the chance, he came to Fan Expo a number of years ago. His name was Michael Turner, and he passed away of cancer, I think. And he did a series of comics in the 90s and the early 2000s called Fathom. And I really enjoyed the artwork for this series. It was incredible. And I never got the chance to say thank you to him. And I'm kicking myself in the ass. I also miss Mike Mignola. He's not dead or anything. Just whenever he comes up to a local convention near us, I never go. And life is fragile. You never know. So take the time. Say thank you to artists, writers. Discover somebody new. So with that, we're going to get out of Twig Obituaries for a change. And let's talk about the news that is, was, and forever shall be here on This Week in Geek. So we're going to lead things off with horror movies, because it's one of my favorite genres of movies, and I got some exciting news.
Well, that's horror movies, not horror movies.
I can't pronounce it. It's like Detroit, which you guys make fun of me endlessly.
That was perfect.
Fuck.
That was a perfect Detroit. Good
It'll job. Never happen again. Not in a million years.
I hope you guys enjoyed that, because it's the last time you'll be hearing it.
So, Child's Play creators are moving forward on a television series with Brad Dourif amidst the reboot announcement. So, what this means is series creators Don Mancini and David Kirshner have been collaborating for several years on sequels, most recently Cult of Chucky, which came out last year, but they're working towards a television series that is currently in development, which will be canonical with the movies. And they're also going to make additional movies on the side, which will coincide with the TV series, if I'm to understand it. Now, MGM is rebooting this franchise, but they will not have Brad Dourif come back, which is kind of shitty. I can't imagine Chucky without Chucky. It's weird.
It's like the Crypt Keeper without the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, without John, I can't...
Kassir,
yeah. Or having Robert Englund replaced with Jackie Earle Haley.
It works in the short term, but not in the long term.
Yeah, so this will be kind of weird. But the fact that MGM reached out to Kirshner and Mancini several times to offer them executive producer credit on this, I think says they really wanted them to have them on this new film, but they declined. So what they said is, we're still working on the series and also plan to continue the film franchise with Universal. We intend to stay true to the universe we've created. In the last movie, Chucky more or less had found a way to clone himself so he could spread himself into multiple dolls. And I wonder where the new television series is going to pick up. Considering the success of Ash vs. Evil Dead, horror, mm-hmm. I think I said it right. I really had to think about that.
It's a hard word to say.
It really is, and I feel like an asshole for saying horror for so many years.
Just use terror.
Terror in space movies can work, because there was talk of a Friday the 13th series based upon the film franchise for a number of years, but due to the legal bullshit happening right now, that's never going to happen.
Could it be like, could they do the Chucky show like the original Friday the 13th TV show that was basically an anthology where it's like, here we're going to investigate a room full of different objects that have supernatural, like, it was basically X-Files meets Twilight Zone, only they use the name in name only.
I kind of wonder if they'll follow Andy, the character from the first movie who did appear in Cult of Chucky as the original character. Whether they'll follow his misadventures tracking down the doll that more or less fucked up his life, or whether they'll follow the character from the second movie. Because there's so many characters that have been left alive in the Child's Play universe that aren't exactly doing a whole lot like now. Like, I think Justin Whalen, who was... I most know him most notably from the Dungeons & Dragons movie. I don't think he's doing a lot right now. So you could follow him, because he was in Child's Play 3 as the military kid, or the black kid who kidnapped Chucky in Child's Play 3. There's so many possibilities here. But your idea of an anthology series, maybe following Chucky's different adventures, and it just happens he's moving from thing to thing.
Like, I'm picturing like that old Hitchhiker show from the 80s. Where he narrates it, and basically like a Tales from the Crypt sort of thing.
I hope that they get Jennifer Tilly back to play his wife, Tiffany. I think that'd be really cool. I mean, because Brad Dourif, he's a voice. He's not exactly a huge movie star, but he's a character actor, and you know him to see him in whatever he does. So I'd like to see them bring back more actors from the Chucky universe. I'm just excited to see what could happen. Like I said, we've seen what happened with Ash versus Evil Dead. American Horror Story was very successful.
If we had a crossover, I'd love to see something with like Puppet Master or Demonic Toys versus...
Yeah!
Okay. Oh my god. A lot of potential there. Entire concept as a character kind of opens him up to some weird but also creepy stories.
Really, like, actually, the crossover everybody wants but will never happen because it's just too different.
Jason versus Freddy versus Chucky?
No, Chucky versus Slappy from Goosebumps.
Although, I guarantee you there would be an episode like that where Chucky takes over a different doll.
Actually, I want to see Slappy just murder the kid from Young Sheldon. because that's exactly what he looks like. It looks like they brought that. It's like, oh, I'm a real boy now. And I'm just waiting for that kid on Young Sheldon to start murdering people. Because look at it. Think of the picture in your mind, that kid, and picture Goosebumps.
You know,
I would watch Young Sheldon if he started murdering people.
Yeah.
You know what? You know who the kid for Young Sheldon would be good if you dyed his hair blonde? They're remaking Pet Sematary now. Picture him as Gage, the kid that gets hit by the truck and dies, oh, and comes back.
I was going to say, picture him as Edward Furlong. No, just have Edward Furlong in it, and he just comes out of the grave and just no makeup or anything. That's just what he looks like because he's been dead for years.
Yeah, that's Pet Sematary 2.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, film nerd, when it comes to horror movies. God damn it, I'm going to think about that every time.
Horror.
I'm going to hear Tristan in the back of my head. Pronounce it right, dickhead.
I like my horror movies. My coffee? I don't know.
Okay.
Dark and exploitive? Anyway.
Sour and rotten?
Ugh, we're getting out of this hole. All right, Tristan, what do you got for news this week?
So Netflix has once again simplified its review process. In case you didn't know, Netflix actually has user-written reviews available for all of its content, or it has up until pretty much now. They're phasing out the user review process. You won't be able to write any new reviews as of July 30th, and by mid-August they'll be removing all already written reviews for all of its content. I didn't know there were user reviews before. That's apparently because all of these reviews are only available on the desktop platform, so you won't get it on consoles, nothing on mobile, any other device you're using. If you're not using a PC and going to Netflix.com, you can't view this content to begin with.
See, I watch Netflix exclusively on my desktop through the web browser, which I didn't realize there was a Windows 10 app till about 10 minutes ago.
Yep.
I didn't even know there were user reviews other than the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, and this is about 1 year ago. They changed the overall review from 5-star system to the thumbs up, thumbs down, because they thought that was going to be better for the users. Users, obviously, they like it, but that's just because they're watching Netflix anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure if it's better than the 5-star review system. It feels a little bit less involved, a little bit less personal. Kind of liked it. It was okay. I like to give stuff 3 stars, and it was good enough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'd just flat out say thumbs up to something, like maybe a 2-star thing. There were good parts, but okay, that's going to translate to a thumbs down. It doesn't feel right to me. It feels too generic, and there's not enough ability to go in and say that it was worth watching, kind of.
Yeah, because I liked the ability to have the star system, because I felt like it changed my algorithm. Like, okay, if I give something a 2-star, shit like this will less likely show up. With thumbs up, thumbs down, it feels more random now. Like, you should see my late Netflix, how something I give a thumbs up to will bring up randomly Year One by Harold Ramis with Jack Black and Michael Cera. But if I give something a thumbs down, I'll get something really fucking weird. Like, because I like to watch a lot of scary movies on Netflix. And I feel like either there's not enough there, or at least in Canada, that my algorithm is picking up on.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had the star system, it'll sort out the less 1-star movies, like, that are crap, and give me the really good ones. Like, say, The Babadook or some shit like that. So, which is an amazing movie, by the way. But yeah, Netflix, I don't know. For every hit they make, they seem to make one dumb mistake backwards.
They make some strange moves. What I'm disappointed in is these user reviews were never visible on anything else. Why didn't they expand that ability to other platforms?
Yeah,
I would have loved to give some reviews on some stuff I've watched that was a hidden gem.
Yeah, I mean, even if the user reviews consisted of, like, here's 50 keywords, and you can pick 5. And this way, you'd be like, was good, was not bad, was slow, and you can just go, buh, 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 buh,
yeah,
buh.
You can generate some general idea of what the film's going to be. Like, if you were to, for Thor Ragnarok or something, you can say, you know, epic, but also silly. And
yeah,
a little key tag, those keywords that can kind of help you get an idea of what the movie's going to contain, it'll help the algorithm as well, because it's going to search for other movies that have similar keywords to the ones you keep liking.
Yeah, like,
there's so much more potential there for generating ideas for what people are going to watch, instead of just, you thumbs up this, therefore you will like these other things that people also did that too.
And, you know, it's strange too, because especially in Canada, because we have a lot less selection on Netflix compared to America and other places in the world, we don't get a whole lot of stuff because of the thumbs up, thumbs down system. We're getting recommended stuff in really weird categories. Once again, I use the example of Year One. That shows up in my suspense movies. How in the flying fuck is that suspenseful?
Yeah.
It's a goofy caveman comedy.
It's not a perfect system for sure. Can you even do the old thing where when you sign up for an account, you can fill out your preferences by liking and stuff?
You can on the desktop version. Like, you can sort. I'm actually...
But wasn't there a feature on mobile where you could... It's a few years back now where you could go into this, like,
and game. Sort it?
No, it was a game, and it was like, we're gonna pop up with these two or three things, and which one of these do you like? Here's a trailer for each one.
Huh.
And you could like or dislike it, and then... Here we go. Based on these, we think you're going to like this. And if you wanted to watch it, you could watch it. And if you watched it for like 10 minutes and left, it's like, why did you leave it? And you could give a response as to why you didn't want to watch the rest of it.
I miss that
and
system.
It would determine. And it was something really cool. I don't know if they... I don't think they do it at all anymore.
No, it's gone. It's been gone for a couple years.
They just simplify the process and say, okay, well, here's some stuff. Here's what everyone else is watching. Give it a try. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Builds a profile based off of what you do watch and what you do respond to.
I will say this, out of the streaming services that are available in Canada, between Crave, Crackle doesn't count because it's free.
It sucks.
They have like three or four things and their original programming, and you have to watch commercials. There's no way to get rid of the commercials, and it's just kind of crappy streaming.
Isn't it like a Crackle Premium or something?
No, there isn't. There's talk of maybe Sony doing something with it. They should roll it in with the PlayStation thing and make it all part of the
PlayStation View or
like
whatever.
If you have PlayStation Plus, you should get to Crackle without commercials. You really should.
Yeah.
But anyway, between Show Me's gone, but between Crave TV, Netflix, Amazon, like Amazon Prime Video, all the services that are available in Canada, Netflix still is probably the best interface.
Yeah, I would agree.
I find Amazon is just kind of bogged down slow, and they duplicate everything in every category. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to find a scary movie on Amazon is a trick.
Crave is fine, but problem with Crave is there's not a lot of content on it.
It's all TV.
Yeah, so...
I hope you like crime shows.
Netflix is still the go-to.
Yeah. Whereas, like you said, in other countries, you got a lot more options. One interface I like... because I use the web app, is I watch the Funimation streaming service, and their interface is great. Crunchyroll.
Actually, you know what? WWE has a really streamlined, easy-to-use interface. I wish that other people would copy that interface.
Although, the web app is different than the actual app on a console.
No, I'm saying, the console app is really good.
Yeah, the console app is phenomenal, which in Canada, you have to backdoor it, because you can't get the network here in Canada. You have to get it through your cable company.
Well, yes and no. You can. They've opened it up to the Canadian subscribers.
Finally.
You don't need an American credit card or PayPal anymore. You can just use a Canadian one.
Oh, really?
Good. Yeah, because their idea is you can use it abroad when you're in the States. And you don't even need, like, if you're doing it on PC, you don't need to do anything. There's no VPN.
It just works.
On consoles, you do have to have an account that has a U.S. Address listed on it.
Yeah.
But you don't even really, you just need to make a U.S. region account. So most people have done that. But on PC, you can just pay for it.
Yeah.
Rogers tried blocking it, and they just didn't care.
Yeah, because I remember when the network signups happened, and I had to use PayPal, and they asked me where I'm from, and I used to have a P.O. box over in New York, and I just used my old P.O. box, which is 14302, which is New York, New York.
Yeah. They don't care anymore.
Which is good.
No, I'm not sure about credit card, but everything goes through PayPal with them now anyway. So.
Yeah. So other stuff that we wanted to talk about this week in terms of the news. Earlier this week, I had a chance to speak with Ed the Sock and Leanna Kay. These guys are doing an Indiegogo for their FU network, which is the Fun Network, aiming to bring back Canadian irreverence to this increasingly depressing media landscape. So if you want to go check out that interview, I highly suggest you go check that out. That was posted just a couple of days ago.
Quick background. I was doing a little research into it. This all stems from about a year ago when Ed the Sock posted a video to YouTube that received legal action.
Really?
We're not talking takedown. We're talking
lawyers.
Bell tried suing him. And he made a video that you can find on not on YouTube anymore, but on Facebook and on any other platform that he posted to, that was called Who Murdered Much Music? And he names people in it. He doesn't name the executives directly, but he pokes fun at a couple of the hosts that were just sort of not as good in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about how one executive openly said this, like, why are we putting out all this reality show stuff? Why are we having less hosts? Why are we doing this? And somebody right at the top, we're talking like right at the top of the station, maybe even whoever was in charge of the station, said, our viewers are shit, so we're going to give them shit.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And he was not hit for that comment because they would have to prove that the person didn't say that. But he was hit for using their logo. The old Much logo. And they tried suing him. They tried shutting down his FU network that he was just starting.
Yeah.
And that stemmed from this, and it was for some fair use things. And so basically over the last year, they've been slowly building their catalog and moving forward. But he waged a war against CTV and Bell Media.
Oh, wow.
Can look it up on Twitter.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
he thought that the persons he talked about would come at him, but the corporate... And basically his argument was, you're just proving my point, that you don't want people talking about how good your stuff was before because you don't care now. But because somebody's bringing it to light, now you have to defend it.
And it's so terrible because, as we're going to discuss a little bit later on with our friend Jen, we grew up on Much Music. Much Music was very much a part of the
Basically,
Canadian identity.
The Chum network. So Chum, the radio station Chum, Chum City, the city station, and then its baby, which was Much, which got away with more because Chum was, and the city network was a broadcast network, so there's only so much they could do. Except they did show pornos in the 70s, and then the 90s again. So, we're talking on broadcast TV. That'd be like CBS going, we're going to show a porno tonight, and we don't care. We're gonna pay the fine because we don't care. And we'll do it for, every week. So they did that, and then Much got away with more, being, a cheap station that got to do... Basically, what if Public Access had a budget? That's basically what Much was.
Yeah, I remember so much of the personalities. I remember learning about music, caring about music. Some of the hosts, one of my favorites was a guy named Bradford Howe. And even during the interview with Leanna and Ed, I find out Bradford's in New York, and he's going to hopefully drop by the show.
Well, and
who was the dude on the Electric Circus? I couldn't think of his name.
There was a few.
Grandmaster T or something?
Oh, no. Sorry. Master T was on the Rap City. And
that's it.
Now, the big thing is, Much originally came out of that one program they had on City called The New Music.
Mm-hmm.
And then The New Music became a staple on both. And it was free-form interviews, concerts. And instead of, junket stuff, they would interview people after a concert in the backstage. It wasn't just the standard interview junket crap. Mm-hmm.
You know who I'd like to see them get a show if the FU Network is successful? Nardwuar. He's an amazing interviewer.
A couple years back, he had a stroke, I think.
Yeah. I think he's still working.
He's still working out of BC. And if for anybody that doesn't know what Nardwuar is, in a nutshell, it's...
The human serviette?
He's quirky, dressed up, blah, blah, blah. The window dressing for what he does is he does an incredible amount of research on every subject he does, finds things that are related to their history, like maybe he would find out where they went to school, a band, talk to their teachers or family or whatever, find out what their earliest influences were, and then he presents gifts to each of the people he's interviewing, and you start to see the reactions as he goes deeper into their history, where they start to freak out because how do you know all this stuff? He'll find out somebody had a Canadian grandmother that they've never talked about. And I'd be like, so your grandmother's Canadian? And I'd be like, yeah. And they go, what the fuck? So how'd you find this out? And for the best interviews he's done have been with Snoop Dogg, and he's done about four or five of them. Every two or three years he works with them, and they're sort of become buddies. So that's, if they got Nardwuar, they've already got Strombo.
Yep, Strombo says he'll do a show.
They got Rick the Temp. I refuse to call him Rick Campanelli. Rick Campanelli is the guy on
Entertainment
Tonight,
Canada, yeah.
I'm sorry, the fucking garbage news. It's the worst show in Canadian on TV. It's Entertainment Tonight is bad in the States for just being gossip mongering. It's even worse when it's diluted in Canada. Yet, so I will only call him Rick the Temp because it's the only time that he was worth watching. I wish they would do something with Bill Wilichka because he eventually moved and became in charge of Much More Music, which is, I don't even know if that channel exists.
I think it just shows episodes of Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
It became M3 or something, and now I don't even think it's called that. I think it's rebranded as a cooking channel or something.
I think you're right, actually. I remember something. I think we've had a conversation about this.
The country music channel. I think it's like a new cooking channel or an outdoor network or something bullshit.
And whatever happened to Much Loud?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, well, and that was basically Strombo's channel.
Man.
And then there was Much Vibe and
Much Retro.
Yeah, Retro. That lasted a lot longer because it was just retro feeds over and over again. And they say it was YouTube that killed it. That's what they tried to argue. It wasn't. People, and they
it was money.
People watched. If you wanted to watch the music video, you would just tape it on VHS one time and repeat it over and over again. You watched for all the periphery things that were happening.
Yeah, because there was so much personality to Much Music. We also talk about how there's going to be a new version of Speaker's Corner. But if you want to go check out the interview that I did with Ed and Leanna K, please go check that out. That was just on the website a couple days ago. Definitely entertaining. Definitely check out their Indiegogo, yeah, which currently sits at just a little under $13,000. Though, with private donations via PayPal, they are evidently a lot closer to goal.
Yeah, if in doubt, if you're worried about using a credit card, do PayPal.
Exactly, because they get to keep all their money that they've raised anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll see some cool new shows on the FU Network when their funding ends. There's even a perk where you get to go to the rap party in Toronto.
And you can get Ed the Sock socks.
Which I think is pretty cool. Or you can get one of Ed's husks if you want to own a true Ed the Sock original.
That's right. He said he sheds his body every couple of years.
So, guys, we're going to take another break here on ThisWeekInGeek.net to talk with our friend Jennifer McMiler, who's been a huge fan of Twig and the Terrible Warriors podcast. We're a part of the Cambridge Chronicles. So take a listen to an American as she experiences her first Canada Day, the Canadian media that we grew up on, and some of the differences that make us the same and yet unite us all the same. So we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with Mr. Christopher and Alex, the producer. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm not a lumberjack or a fur trader, and I don't live in an igloo or eat blubber or own a dog sled, and I don't know Jimmy, Sally, or Susie from Canada, although I'm certain they're really, really nice.
Welcome back to Twig. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I am not alone as I kind of do something special here for the news this week. I am joined with my ever faithful co-conspirator and guy who most often has me hit the edit button more often than I care to.
Alex, who's going to behave from now on.
That's great.
At least for now.
At least for now. Thank you. Because actually, in this very special edition of the Twig show, we actually have a guest in studio, which is something we have here at the Birdcage here in Guelph, Ontario, Canada. We actually welcome a longtime Terrible Warrior fan and Twig fan. We welcome Jennifer to the show. Now, you might recognize her on Twitter by her Twitter handle, at Jelly Swirl. She does some fantastic art. I think her Twitter is Jelly Soup Studios, if I'm not mistaken.
You had it before.
Okay. Oh, no. All right. So I had it before. So she does some fantastic artwork. She's done stuff for Terrible Warriors. She actually has drawn some fantastic work of me and my mother. She's done fantastic artwork of me, my grandfather, my grandmother, and Dr. Wiley, which if you're on my Facebook, which is at Birdman Dodd, you can actually see that artwork as my profile picture right now. And the big reason Jen came up this weekend is because she's done some really cool things for me, and I really want to say thank you to her. So she's come up this weekend from America, the land of...
land of scary loud things.
Land of scary loud
I
things.
I love my guns. What are you talking about?
So scary, so loud, so scary, so orange.
So orange. But we welcome
Cheetos.
Jenna.
There's nothing wrong with Cheetos.
Nothing wrong with... Yeah, it's true.
So we brought her up to celebrate Canada Day with us. Now, this Canada Day was... I had this grand vision. And unfortunately, as of this recording, it's like 9 million degrees outside. And it's humid. So if you're like me, extra fluffy, no, you will melt and or die.
If you are like a twig, no pun intended, you will die outside. Like to the point where the government was leaving notices out thing. Don't go outside unless it's to get somewhere where it's air conditioned.
Yeah, it's ridiculous right now. So Jen's Canada Day experience has been a little bit tempered from my original grand vision. So what I wanted to do with this conversation is kind of welcome Jen to Canada officially on the Twig podcast. And over the last 36 to 48 hours, we've been introducing her to Canadian television, Canadian commercials, Canadiana as much as we possibly can. Basically, we've done everything but force feed her maple syrup. We've taken her to Smoke's Poutinerie, which you can follow on Twitter at Poutinerie. We have introduced her to Tim Hortons, or she had that on her way up. We are making her a Canadian breakfast tomorrow morning, which my wonderful wife, Blair, will be preparing with, I think, sausage, pancakes, and I'm not sure what else. Fresh fruit, locally sourced. Thank you, Farmers Market. And, yeah.
And a little trip to Fast Eddie's.
Yes, Fast Eddie's, which for those of you that are not familiar with the Southern Ontario region, is a local, kind of like an American-style drive-through. Kind of, think of it as like discount Sonic's, if you're in the States, but more Canadian, if you will. And we had lunch there today. Fantastic steak burger. We had something called Crazy Fries, which Alex will explain.
It's a chili sauce. Not a chili, but a chili-style gravy sauce with... not cheese, as in like not cheddar cheese, more like nacho cheese.
Yeah, so more like a queso, but less spicy.
Yeah, and they serve it. If you get, wait, we got one to share with everybody, so it came in a little pail,
which is kind of funny.
And they do pickle fries, which is basically French fries with dill pickle seasoning on it, and then everything else is sort of your standard burger fare.
And then Jen, we're going to throw things to her right now. So we also had some requests to kind of bring America to us. And Jen brought us up a variety of different chocolate bars, cereals, some different chips, some Diet Pop that we haven't had before. We had the mystical Baja Blast, which I've never had before.
And for me, the big one was the sugar-free and low-calorie drink crystals, like the Singles To Go. We have some here, and we have a very small variety of them. And the States just seems to have a ton of weird, crazy flavors. And it's always nice to have something that you can just throw into a bottle of water and not worry about it.
So let's finally get Jen onto the show, because we've been rambling on for almost 5 minutes. So you've been in Canada for the last 2 days, give or take. What do you think of our country so far?
I really love it so far. The people always nice and just welcoming.
So now that you've like kind of experienced Canada, what are some of the misconceptions that you've maybe had about us, and now that you've kind of lived among us, dare I say, for a little while, what are some things that maybe, okay, maybe that's bullshit, maybe that's not bullshit, what have you noticed so far about us?
Sometimes you always hear on TV like the thick, like maybe French or the Canadian like accent or the story.
Now, do in your opinion, does anybody in this room have the Canadian accent?
You hear it a little bit here and there. It's like, oh, that's Canada right there.
I'm going to say it's probably from the hicks sitting to the left of me.
Shut up!
The farm folk. The farm. Hill people, if you will. Like, it might come out if we exaggerate things, but you hill folk, you're the ones that do it.
Yeah, evidently Alex and all them are making fun of me for the way I say Toronto and Detroit.
Stop saying it like that.
Fuck and or
it's
you.
It's Toronto.
Toronto.
Wrong.
You're
hillbilly. Hillbilly, hill folk, Detroit. Not from here. You're a foreigner is what you are.
And I'm more native than anybody else here.
I understand if you don't live in Toronto, so you don't call it the city, but call it the proper thing. It's because you're from up north, you weirdo.
You know what? I'll grant you the up north thing. So, all right, Jen. So,
where you lived, was there farms around you?
Yes.
You're a northerner.
I am a northerner. I come from the Bruce Peninsula. For those of you who care to look it up on a map, Georgian Bay and Lake Ontario.
But your choices up there are marry a husband or a wife or a sheep or a pig or a whatever.
On some ways, he's not wrong. I do not deny this. There's a
Some states still allow suck at cousins, so there you go.
There's a strange amount of bestiality where I'm from.
See, everybody thinks, oh, Alex is making it up. I'm not lying.
No, it's all meth labs and bestiality. Anyway, I love where I'm from. But anyway, so now that...
So, I love where I'm from. I love all the bestiality.
I love labs. Mr. Ed. He's the best friend ever.
So anyway, what's your favorite thing about Canada so far?
Like, this is the weird food you have. It's like, pickle fries. What the hell is pickle fries?
Now, that pickle fries is sort of a regional thing here, but pickle everything is here.
Which is so weird. I kind of figured America would have pickles. And I don't know. I always associate America with those Bix pickles or
but,
like, no, the one with the stork.
like, no,
but,
put them
but
in
dills, like big, like crunchy sour dills is more of a thing here.
We have really? Those as well, but just like pickle, like seasoning and everything. We have like mostly like cheese seasoning. That's the big thing as well.
Yeah.
Or make it super spicy or hot or anything like that.
And ketchup everything here.
Yeah, we have nothing ketchup other than the basics.
Yeah, you said that your culture shock was seeing that people put ketchup on their eggs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like everybody does that. And you just gave us a look like, what?
Now, tomorrow morning, some of the stuff that Jen brought back from us, she bought me some ketchup from Walmart. You might be thinking, Mike, well, what's the big deal? It's ketchup from Walmart. Who gives a shit? But it was Nickelodeon slime sauce. So tomorrow morning, Jen will get to see what eggs look like. Green eggs. And I don't know how... It's green eggs and literally...
And ham.
It's like neon green bile.
It looks really nasty, so...
It's gonna... I'm so excited for this. I have no idea.
As cool as that is, I almost want to go back in a time machine and find the purple one.
Yes. Yes.
Just put some food coloring in it and off you go.
Yeah. Speaking of food nasty. Coloring... Actually, I'm going to get my wife, Blair, on here. She's going to join me on microphone for just a minute.
She's going to be disgusting and vulgar.
Christ, I hope not. Okay, so Blair, you put together a gift care package for Jen. What did you put inside of it?
Coffee crisp chocolate bars. Because those you really can't find anywhere else. Ketchup chips. Alex put in some maple syrup.
Real maple syrup, we might add.
100% pure, the real stuff. As well as I put in... Dare maple cream-filled cookies.
Which are locally sourced.
Which are local from the region, as in, like, the best ones in Canada are made here. And they're, I don't believe, sold in any other country.
Ooh, Smarties.
Real Smarties, not the weird
not
sugar or whatever things
you have.
And those are really good so far. I tried some when I was waiting, so I was really surprised kind of how thicker the shell is compared to M&M's.
Oh, yeah.
And All-Dressed chips.
Did we get her a cream soda yet?
No.
On your way home.
Oh, fuck you.
I love you. What else did we throw? We threw her a Canada Day shirt.
I got a Cadbury egg, so open that before you hit the border.
Yes, Kinder eggs. Although I think the tariffs or the protection were just recently lifted on those.
I thought we could get them in the States, unless it's a weird flavor.
I know you can get the brand, but I don't know if you can actually get the eggs.
Because there's something about having toys and chocolate. It's a really weird regulation, I think.
Ooh, Crispy Crunch.
Yeah, we got one of those.
I got Humpty Dumpty Ringolos, ketchup flavored, of course. And you think you got Hickory Sticks, which I was surprised to find is only Canada.
I tried those. I've had something very similar. I can't think of the brand.
It might be similar, but they were originated here.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to think, there's not much else. We were trying to find... like a pop or a soda drink, and there really isn't anything that's exclusively...
super regional.
Or exclusively Canadian. Yeah. The closest we could find was that cream soda here is pink, and in the States it's not.
We also got, Jen, tonight we had a very Canadian barbecue with Canadian beef, because go us and go Alberta. Or even Ontario beef is really good, too. We're also going to have her Nanaimo bars.
Oh, yes.
Which is named after, Nanaimo, B.C. Although I don't really know the history behind that.
Yeah, like, we have more desserts that are Canadian.
Butter tarts, yes.
Yeah, butter tarts. Oh, nice. And that those are, which I always thought butter tarts were British, but it turns out they're not. They're from
I always
here.
Thought British, I always thought butter tarts were a Pennsylvania thing for some reason. Because
they
I
got all the Hershey and chocolate.
Yeah, or the Pennsylvania Dutch sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's I think it's mostly, and it's mostly East Coast. Like, you don't really find it on the West Coast. And... we did have to do the explanation and show and tell of how the milk bags work.
Yeah, Jen's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's like, you put it in here, you shake it, you snip it, and you're good. And the milk doesn't go bad nearly as... I know, I looked it up. Milk doesn't go bad as fast here.
I did not know that.
Our milk, in the cartons or, like, the cardboard kind of rectangles, and it lasts around 2 weeks or so.
In the fridge, depending on when you buy it, it can be that long or longer, even with it open. Like,
really? Okay.
Without it sealed over. So I know we have a stronger pasteurization protocols for it. So I have heard that our milk is creamier. Like it's a better taste or something.
Did we get you 2% or did you have some yet?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know what, Blair? Put this in your phone. Get a cream soda.
Get one of those little tiny
little ones.
Little containers. Because that's something I guess you might want to try to see the difference. I don't know. I haven't had milk from the States.
See, I like milk from the States because it feels creamier, oh, I guess.
We almost got into a throwdown, drag-out fight when she called Tim Hortons Timbits donut holes.
Yeah, we're like, what the hell is this, like, witchcraft?
First of all, check yourself. And then, from there, rewind what you said and don't ever repeat it again. Because, no, the OG is Timbits.
Now, speaking of Timbits, Jen, what did you think of Dunkin' Donuts versus Tim Hortons? Which one do you prefer?
I thought the donuts were good, but I don't have that many Tim Hortons around me at mm-hmm. home. I've been to one or two, but they're not like, on every block as you guys.
I was going to say, yeah, that's got to be a bit of a culture shock. And yeah. Because we did the math last night. In our city alone, there's something like 26 to 30 for a population of about 300,000. So
you don't have 300,000 here.
Or what it was.
Oh, for me. Yeah, yeah.
For you.
Yeah, for where I live. Basically, it works out to about a Tim Hortons for every 1,000 people in a town.
Which is ridiculous. Even where I'm from, old hill town, 25,000 people, we had six.
And when you have that, also, you got to consider that most of them, if not all, are 24 hours. And they're almost always busy, 24/7, never close.
Yeah, there's always somebody in there either using the Wi-Fi or having a donut.
They may run out of donuts at like 3 in the morning, but you can get a fresh coffee and something at wherever you are in the country.
Although I will say, your Dunkin' Donuts, in my opinion, is superior because you have more drink variety and your donuts are fucking awesome. Yeah. And as a fat guy, I know donuts.
Wait, you guys don't have any Krispy Kremes down here?
We did,
and it didn't last very long. They were here for like a couple years.
Oh, jeez.
When I was in the ninth grade, they opened up one in Kitchener where I live, I think one in Toronto, and that was it as the pilot stores.
There's one in Mississauga right now.
A lot were employed, a lot of kids at my school were employed there, and we made the mistake of eating two or three donuts really quickly because we're like, oh, so good. And then how it sits in you afterwards. What came into effect was there was a big news article about how bad they were for you, and it almost killed the business immediately because the coffee sucked too. It was really bad coffee, like the worst we'd ever had.
Yeah.
And it was probably because they couldn't source the same coffee from the States, so they went with some cheap company up here. But basically, if you want decent, cheap coffee, it's either McDonald's, which I can't believe I'm saying, or Tim Hortons.
I'm trying to think of what else would be worth mentioning with this. Oh, yeah. As I mentioned, we exposed Jen to the various Canadiana television shows. We showed her all what's known up in Canada as YTV. You in the States have Nickelodeon, which has evolved since 1983, I believe. And YTV came in towards the end of the 80s into the 90s. And we had what was known program jockeys. So sort of like an MTV VJ, but meant for children. And we showed her PJ Phil. We showed her Tarzan Dan. We showed her Sugar Baby.
The Grogs.
The Grogs and how they took over the network for like a day. We showed her old Much Music. One of the most Canadian things ever. Mark Daly and City Pulse News.
Basically everything that was the Chum City. That is what Chum City and YTV shaped Canadian culture from about 84... until 2003, when Bell destroyed them.
Yeah, and I'm in complete agreement with
that. For about 20 years, it shaped two generations of Canadians.
And then just before we recorded this segment, we actually showed Jen some of our Canadian childhood. We showed her Raffy, Fred Penner, Sharon Lois and Bram.
Skinner Rinky Dink, you fuck.
Yes, Eric Negler, my nemesis. There's a story there, and I'll tell it on the show at some point. This was a cool cultural exchange because I've had friends who are American, and we talk online all the time, but I've never actually had a chance to just really just kind of sit down and just really examine what are some of the differences. Because me and Jen last night had an extended conversation about culture, about politics, how we view certain things, and it was really eye opening. And I don't know, like, yeah, we're the same. Yeah, we're different, and I know everybody can say that, whatever. But I don't know. It's
we're more the same. The closer you are to the border, you're closer to the states that you're connected to.
Yeah.
In general, so
we're a mix of Michigan and New York, I guess.
If you want to talk about the Ontario accent, if you really want to say it, it's got a bit of Canadian in it. But the vast majority of us since the 50s have been raised watching New York and LA TV.
Oh, really?
So our accent, because we pick it up over the air, like over the air, we can get CBS and everything. We can't get the CW for the most part.
No.
But our, and a lot of our shows were syndicated from the States, so we've grown up, at least if you were born from 1950 onward, where our voice of television has been an amalgamation of basically Ontario, whatever Quebec programming we were forced to watch.
Whatever came out of Buffalo.
And whatever came out of Buffalo, New York, and Los Angeles.
Some Detroit, but not a whole lot.
No, but not in where we are, more in Sarnia.
Okay. I would get it over the air, but it would be rare.
Almost all of our feeds were Buffalo and New York.
Yeah.
Except if you were lucky, like me, to have a giant satellite dish in my backyard. So I was an MTV baby, and I watched all the Real World, Road Rules, and VJs that I could.
So from all the Canadian stuff that we've shown you, Jen, in terms of television, what was the most Canadian thing you saw? What stuck out to you as like, Jesus Christ, this is so fucking Canadian?
I think you guys make fun of it, but how kind of cheaply sometimes it's made. It's like, oh my goodness, they had like $50. Let's get going.
Oh, we're going to make a game show, and you're going to win a toaster. Yeah.
Or just the puppets with the sock and like paint on it, or the really...
You're going to win a $25 gift card. Where? For Byway. Your local, you know, Woolworths, Woolco.
A&P stores.
A&P stores.
Or every commercial has like a beaver or like going down the river on logs. And
oh, yeah.
The PSAs we showed her.
We showed a lot of PSAs.
Bert and Bert.
Some horrific ones, like the Prevent It ones. Watch the Prevent It ones.
Yes.
Type in Prevent It.
Guys, Prevent It
PSA. That one. Oh, and Blair made me remember, was it Blair or Michael that made me remember the domestic abuse one with the stapler?
That was me, and I'm totally clear.
Yeah, you bitch!
Stapler.
It wouldn't be acceptable in the office, so is it acceptable at home? That's pretty graphic since they aired it at like 3 in the afternoon.
You guys make fun of Americans. Holy shit, guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only one we didn't
show is just as disturbed.
We didn't show the one about the mines, like the landmines. There was a soccer one. It was talking about Canada getting relief fund for helping, I think it was Serbia or something during the landmine problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's these girls playing soccer on the road, or sorry, on the field, and one goes to kick the winning goal, and she blows up, and her legs fly across the screen, and she's on the ground.
God.
She's like, ah, screaming in horror, like bloody murder. And then the parents are picking them up, and it's all this chaos and all this, and it's just like, this could be here. Help go over and help them disarm all the landmines. And they aired that like once or twice, and then they pulled it real fast.
What was I going to say? So, once again, thank you for coming, Jen. I'm so glad you were able to... What was that?
Live the 9
Hobart Tasting. Oh, okay. Evidently, we're doing a live Satan's Pantry. I was just been informed.
Oh, here we go.
By my producer, Blair.
As in the one that provides the food.
Yes, the one who provides.
The one what gives you the foods is.
So
it's in your mouth and you eat it.
So what a Nanaimo bar is. How would we describe this?
I don't care for them.
Oh, here you go.
Really?
I've never been I'll eat it, but I'm not really a Nanaimo person. It is what, like chocolate? I don't know. It's layers. It's like a super dense layered chocolate thing. Very Canadian. I don't even know the ingredients.
You can get your own one.
It looks like a bunch of nuts, like some milk chocolate on top, and some sort of like custard or something in the middle.
Okay, so I've actually made them before. So on the bottom,
please note these are store bought.
Yes, I did not make these, but on the bottom is a mixture of coconut and cocoa. The middle is a mixture of butter and sugar. A lot of it. And the top is just a tempered chocolate.
Okay.
So there's no marshmallow in it. I always thought there was marshmallow in it.
Nope. Butter.
Okay.
I don't remember coconut being in these.
Coconut is the main ingredient. I knew that.
Which, because I haven't had a Nanaimo bar since they used to serve them at Tim Hortons way back in the day.
The only thing we didn't do is we didn't have a Muskoka chair for it to sit in, but I guess that's hard to find here.
Yeah, it's hard to find here given where we live. But
they're basically a chair, an outdoor chair. Excuse my eating and chewing, where they have big arms and everything, and you sit, it's a wooden chair, but you sit really far back in it, and the legs are lifted up slightly.
Mm. Sometimes they're made out of hockey sticks.
Do we want a butter tart, too?
Yes, we do want a butter tart.
these are pretty good. It just, like, the middle is really buttery. It's holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Butter tarts are more my jam.
Like, this, like eating a thing of butter with some chocolate around it.
The butter tarts we thought were English, but not. Now, here's a question. Is it a good butter tart? Does it have a pecan in it? Then it's a good butter tart.
Again, not homemade.
Doesn't matter. As long as it has a pecan, you know it's a good one.
Thank you, ma'am.
I love the buttery taste of these things.
All right. Pecans.
We actually have a butter tart festival.
Yes, we do. Yeah, these, I guess, what is a butter tart? Shortbread cookie with, like a shortbread pastry with, but like in a pie shape.
Okay. It is a pastry, a short crust pastry. And the filling is much like a pecan pie filling that you would get from the States. But often in Canada, we add a little bit of maple. And it can either come with pecans, walnuts, or raisins.
So you guys don't usually have pecan pies?
We do, but it's not as common.
Yeah, not. You might get them in the odd diner, but it's on a menu, not so often.
Like a tradition. It's like pecan.
Like we have apple pie. We have like cherry pie. What's more common here, I think, than in the States is probably a strawberry rhubarb.
That's good stuff too.
And one that I was introduced to last year, Saskatoon berry, which is very good.
I've never heard of that.
It's very good. I actually had to ask JT from Saskatoon, one of the fans and sometimes collaborators, what the hell is this? And he goes, "Eat it." That's all he sent me was a message was, "Eat it." And he was correct. It was very good.
Gotta say, a good butter tart really hits you in the sweet. I find a cold butter tart's the best because it really brings out a lot of the flavors.
We actually, in the past few years, have started having butter tart festivals around southern and northern Ontario.
So there's a weird little bit of trivia for you.
That'd be amazing to have, like, the best cup. Who can make the best one competition.
Yeah, I would say that, like, the Nanaimo Bar and the Butter Tart are probably the two national desserts. Like, national dessert treats, if you could think about it.
Maybe Beaver Tails?
That's more of a snack treat. That's like a county fair treat. This is a normal thing that you'd have as a family dinner. You might have one of these at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
You might have, after you're done dinner, your grandma would come up and say, "Would you like a coffee, dear, and a butter tart?" And then you'd have coffee and a butter tart.
These are very good. Like I say, it's basically like a mini pecan pie. I like the thick crust and like it's really buttery. And it's a very sweet, like the pecan mixture.
I'm trying to think, Alex. So to close out this segment, what else can we talk about? Because we've welcomed her to Canada. She's had our food. She's experienced our culture as we see it as children and as adults.
Well, one thing we mentioned like about food differences that she didn't realize or know was we don't have as much of a Latin American food influence here. We do have, like, you can get tacos. You can make it. It's very popular to make tacos and stuff. But we don't have a lot of restaurants that aren't, like, a Taco Bell. You might have one in your town that's a Latin food store. I don't even know if Guelph has a Latin grocery store. Kitchener has one.
Brand new Latin restaurant downtown.
Brand new Latin restaurant downtown. So they are starting to pop up. Everything here is a much more, like, East Asian, Indian, and Middle Eastern influence. Because there's a lot more that sort of multicultural melon. Like you'll have, for every pizza store in town, you have a shawarma store now.
Yeah, which that's one thing I really wish I had given you before you left, was shawarma from the place next door. It is the best shawarma I've ever had. Like, it's this place from it called Hellman's Kebab in Guelph.
And that's an Afghani shawarma.
Afghani shawarma, and it's delicious.
Like, there's enough shawarma places here that they can actually differentiate by what part of the Middle East they're from, and they're different, each one. There's like a Lebanese one, there'll be a Afghani one, there'll be Iranian, like, and they all taste a little different. So that's... Sorry if we're all eating, it's just a butter tart is so good.
I guess my biggest thing, or confusion, was like, when you leave the States into Canada, now it's the kilometers. And I've been bringing a chart, like, miles to kilometers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
also, the same kind of metric system, like, we have gallons and gas, and now I have to deal with, like, liters.
One of the things you sent me a message about this, and it struck me as so odd, is you're like, "Mike, do you have any toll roads?" And I'm like, "What the hell's a toll road?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, the 407.
And he's like,
"But you don't go anywhere near
it." He goes, "Avoid the 407. And I'm like, I stepped in right away. I'm like, "She's not going near the 407. Basically, I we forgot, because all of our highways or freeways, if you want to call it that, are government funded across the country. And there might be a few tolls maybe in the prairie provinces. I'm not sure.
Not that I've seen.
No, I don't think so. They're all extensively. They're not just provincial. They're owned by the federal government. They're federally funded. So they're maintained and paid for by the federal government. And the 407 was built, what, about 20 years ago?
Yeah.
To ease congestion. And it was a government toll road where I think they charged, I don't know, a couple bucks to ride on it. And it was for Toronto to ease the traffic of the commuters. And then the government sold it to a private company and they jacked the prices up and nobody wants to go on it. Because you get a bill for like $20 to ride on it once.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It used to be like $2 or $3 and then it's 20 now. Which is 15 American, for anybody who wants to know, for a single ride one way on the road.
Yeah, because it was weird, because I remember going to the States, because I traveled a lot through eastern New York going out to PAX. Me and Justin, one of the terrible warriors, we'd get on the toll roads and it'd be like $15 to go across New York. And when you ask me, are there toll roads in Canada? And it just struck me as like, you guys have, why?
Well, I did have to pay a toll coming across to Canada.
Yeah, there's always like $3.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. And I guess I'm used to like going to Chicago and back, and they have quite a bit of toll roads.
Really?
That's weird. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So I've only been to Chicago on like a bus, so.
Yeah, and you have to
There's nothing like that here. It is, the roads have always been federally funded. So, now I know something interesting. The reason, you want to know why that is? Here's my college education coming into play when I had to take logistics and shipping. The reason for that, and it might be the same in the States, probably not. It might be state to state that where the state owns the road or something. But in Canada, all the 400 series highways, the main series highways, the wide, like we're talking 8-lane highways, they're all owned by the government and specifically the military. And it's so they can shut it down at any time. If in the case of an emergency, to roll the tanks out. So if the government is going to transport, let's say, a nuclear missile, which they wouldn't, but let's say they were, at any given time, they can just shut the highway down and it would shut down the 401. It would kill business, but they have the right to because the government owns it.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Weird. Well, I know in the States, if there's like an accident, somebody like died in it, they shut down the highway just to clear out the traffic.
Oh, we don't shut down the highway.
Oh, yeah, as if somebody died or a major accident, it's shut down.
Yeah, like for us, there's also the big thing to take into consideration is outside of the... Actually, it might be expanding to be bigger than the LA Freeway. At some parts of the 401, between around here and Toronto, for about an hour's drive or so, you've got five... I think it's about five... Almost going to be five lanes on either side. So it's... And it's packed a lot, so... Like, it's the most traveled road in the world.
Really? Huh.
LA Freeway has more congestion. We have the most traveled highway.
I was unaware of that.
So I don't think they could really... If they told it, it would kill business. You could just never do it.
So I'm trying to think, Alex, as our final bit here on the show...
And now you know.
And now you know. What is the thing, Jen, you're most looking forward to coming back to Canada? Because I have promised you a hockey game. But what else do you want to see when you come back? Because we promise you we'll show you outside of my goddamn apartment when you come back. Because
it won't be
a million fucking degrees.
It's like, yeah. What? It was like, what, 120 or something after humidity?
Yeah.
So for the Americans, 120. 120 Celsius would mean we had boiled to death and died. So not that hot. About, I think it was almost 50 degrees with humidity.
Yeah, it was gross.
Oh, yeah, and the whole Fahrenheit Celsius thing. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Basically, what difference is this again? Yeah, oh, and that was one thing I know must have been weird, because I have friends in the States where I'll be like, oh, God, it's so hot, it's 40 degrees, and they're like, stop pretending it's hot. I'm like, no, 40 degrees is hot.
It's like, wait, Fahrenheit Celsius,
like,
oh, yeah.
For comparison, for anybody in the States listening that doesn't know, like, a good room temperature in metric is about 20 to 22 degrees Celsius. So when it hits 40, it's double the heat that you want your house to be in.
Mm-hmm. But I guess back to your question, though, I love to maybe, depending on what happens, like maybe like a nice WWE match or something like that.
That'd be a local indie show.
We could do that.
Or something like that, yeah.
WWE only comes here once a year.
Okay.
They do a loop, and it's about usually in the spring. Mm-hmm. But depending on how it's going, Impact Wrestling, which was TNA and whatever out of
Global Force,
out of not, or sorry, they were in Florida and Tennessee and all that in the South. basically the remnants of what, I guess, all the people that didn't go to WWE when they made WCW, like, fall apart, they are now Canadian-owned, and they operate out of Toronto. And see, Toronto. Say it right, Michael.
Toronto.
Oh, you freak. Anyway, and they're, like, they're doing pay-per-views and stuff up here, so they might be doing more tours up here. And that'd be cool, because a lot of the people are either from WWE or going to WWE back and forth, so that would be something, our local show. And there's, well, depending on when you come, there's lots of different local festivals and events that go on. It's just they try to usually avoid the couple weeks, like the beginning of July, because it's death. And then usually the end of August, because it's also death.
I'd love to visit you when, like, we go to a con or something.
Oh, yeah. And that's usually end of summer, into the fall sometimes even.
So we'll take you to a local wrestling show. We'll show you around. We'll show you everything we possibly can.
Yeah.
But we promise you the next time you come back, you will experience Canada, not only its sights, sounds, because you've experienced its taste, its cuisine, and its culture, its media culture. We'll show you some other cool shit. And you did want to have a terrible Warriors experience, so I'll make the promise here on the podcast. You will get a unique campaign. You name the game system. I'll learn it. You choose the players. Preferably Tristan and Alex. Because it'll be really fucking simple.
Because we'll say yes and be here.
Yeah. It's like, sure, whatever.
And we will give you your terrible Warriors adventure. It is yours and yours alone.
Oh, well, thank you.
So we'll do that for you. So anyway, guys, we're going to throw things back to the main show. It should be me, Alex, and Tristan with what happened in the world this week in the world of the weird, bizarre, and the just plain fucked up. We'll be back here, right here on This Week in Geek, only on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. America.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
So in the weird. I'm gonna try that again.
I want to say retard. We're not allowed to say that.
In the world of weird, wacky, and just plain fucked up, here at Twig, we like to come up with some of the strangest things you've ever heard of. So I'm going to start us off.
The strangest things I've ever heard.
You ever done heard.
Okay, we're not even going to edit that.
We can
beep out the politically incorrect stuff, or I wouldn't, because I don't give a fuck.
Fair enough. Speaking of politically incorrect, if you've ever had a reason, or been looking for a reason, to become a juggalo, here's one more for you.
Whoop, whoop.
I mean, who needs a reason to become a juggalo?
Are you down with the cloud?
Apparently, juggalo face paint messes up facial recognition software. It has to do with where the bright white and black contrast happens. If you put it in a very specific place somewhere on your face, it suddenly doesn't recognize where your face actually is. So it messes up all the algorithms it uses to detect a regular face.
I'm going
to
say, I don't think this is a big deal because I'm good.
What are the odds of wearing juggalo face paint?
I might get some juggalo hate on this, but really, I don't care.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to say that juggalos probably are still using flip phones if they even have cell phones. To me, the difference between the juggalo culture and the roving hordes of homeless people you see in the States is face paint.
Wow.
Jeez.
See, I'm morbidly curious about juggalos. I just don't know who to ask.
I was thinking this is more of a way to avoid surveillance, because that's a pretty significant thing that's coming up now, is facial recognition and surveillance. It's a big controversy up at the top level, putting in facial recognition to surveillance cameras in places like the UK, where the cameras are everywhere. Mm-hmm. So suddenly you'll be much less conspicuous if you're just wearing juggalo face paint walking down the street. The cameras won't notice that you're there, but everyone's going to be looking at you pretty fucked up anyway. Like,
so basically, why is it the juggalo?
This only affects 7-Eleven locations and and the Faygo factory. That's about it.
Any police drones that are swooping over ICP concerts as well, of course.
Yeah, that's just kind of strange. Just the fact that the software isn't smart enough to figure out what's a human face, what's face.
Well, it detects like a false chin if you're putting this weird curve under your mouth but above your regular chin. Suddenly it moves where it thinks your jawline is up, So it looks for your mouth where your nose is. It just messes everything up. You end up with a squished face and it doesn't know that it's actually
a
face.
I kind of wonder, could you put a QR code on someone's face?
You probably could, but
it'd be very difficult.
Also, have you seen most juggalos without their makeup? It's an improvement.
I wonder if corpse paint would work for metalheads.
It's basically the same. Well, corpse... It might, because corpse paint is generally... Yeah, you know what? It might affect it the same way, but I think it's the smile that does it.
Yeah, that's mostly because it's creating a false jawline, so you'd have to be very specific on how you do it. But I would say corpse paint might be able to screw it up a little bit if you do it just so. So metalheads out there, corpse paint wearing people, please give it a try.
Yeah, I was going to say, try it out and let us know.
Yeah, if you're ever in a position where you're going through facial recognition software, which I'm sure that comes up every day.
That's the battle movie I want to see. I want to see...
The Juggalos versus the Metalheads?
Juggalos versus Norwegian black metal Nihilus.
Nihilus, man. I don't care about anything. So for my weird story this week, this is going to be kind of a short weird news segment, although we have a surprise for you towards the end of it. Evidently, a hiker finds an odd Elmo tree. Well, what the fuck are you talking about, Mike? So evidently, in the backwoods in a state forest in the mystical faraway land of Massachusetts, there is covered a tree in Elmo dolls. So evidently, while exploring the Miles Standish State Forest last weekend, a hiker named Julie Sylvia had found a tree covered in Tickle Me Elmos, regular Elmos, and just Elmos. There is no way else to describe this, but it was just... weird. Now, Sylvia said there was no indication that this was some kind of a memorial or anything, but she was like, okay, whatever, it's just a bunch of Elmos. Now, evidently, Sylvia theorizes that the weird collection of Elmo dolls was meant to be discovered by hikers and possibly give them a scare. And, I don't know, what would weird you out to find in the forest? I'm not talking like some Blair Witch shit.
What I wanted her to find it, but I wanted her to like press all the Tickle Me Elmos at once and then record the tree.
Some of them still had batteries.
like a Tickle Me Murder Tree.
Imagine that thing being on fire. Besides the obvious St. Elmo's fire joke, but still just seeing all those Elmo, like I've seen a video of a Tickle Me Elmo being burned, and it's fucking freaky.
No. I want hikers to come across, like have their headphones in and go, what's that sound? Look. And it's a tree covered in Teddy Ruxpins that are all talking at once.
Just all synchronized?
No, all random. Like, and they all start up at different times. And they're all, I want to be your friend.
I
have them hanging from like every tree in a forest like for a good like...
So, the Blair Witch, but with Teddy Ruxpin.
or even a dildo tree would be pretty funny.
Yeah, but they don't talk. Some of them probably
a vibrator tree.
There was a video on Twitter. I saw this afternoon, actually, and it was a robotics dude, and he's reprogramming a Tickle Me Elmo. And someone had wrote, "This looks less and less like a robotics experiment and more like a satanic sacrifice because the Elmo's on the table all spread out, and he's reprogramming like his innards, and the Elmo just sits up and starts talking. It's weird." So yeah, that's some of the weird news we were able to find this week. The Juggalos and Elmo.
Is it at least like an elm tree?
I don't know.
Elm tree. We gotta get like every single Sesame Street character their own tree.
Actually,
now.
You know what would be freakier than a tree covered in Elmos? One big bird hung from a tree.
Complete with nooses dangling.
Yeah, that and like a Barney. Like Barney and... No, sorry. Just Big Bird.
Hanging from a tree.
And like have like painted like black mascara running on its face and stuff.
So the Norwegian death metal Big Bird.
Yeah.
Juggalo Big Bird.
Well, if you try to take a picture, it won't recognize the face.
It just fucks right up.
And it just with a sign around its neck saying, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Can you tell me how to get to the afterlife?
Oh my God, we're dark here. Anyway.
Where did I go wrong? That's all it says. I could never find... Or no, it just says Snuffy was real.
Oh my God. Avenge me.
Oh my God.
Avenge me, Snuffy? I think I found the episode title.
Avenge me, Snuffy.
Avenge me, Snuffleupagus.
You know... You know what my favorite Twig show title has ever been?
What?
Dick Clark's Mystery Machine. Because it pissed off Blanchard a while ago, because we were making fun of Dick Clark and Scooby-Doo for some reason.
Was it this post-strokey Dick Clark where he's like, oh, hello, everybody.
Strokey?
Yeah, when he got... They used to string him up for the last couple of years he was around. It's like...
He's like a puppet.
Rocker New Year's Eve. Welcome, America's oldest teenager, whatever they call them, right?
Yeah.
Come on. And that's when you had the what's his name? Ryan Seacrest. He's like, that's right. And he, like, I was waiting for him to just to reach up his backside and start moving his mouth like a puppet to keep him alive. He's like, all I figured was every year he was stealing more and more of his power so that he could then, like, his essence.
So did, like, he eventually, like, Highlander him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because he owns the Dick Clark Company.
There can be only one.
Maybe so. He did that one year, and then the next year it was Weekend at Dick Clark's. Where he's just...
But seriously, Dick Clark, when he came out, don't put strokey Dick Clark on TV. Nobody wanted to see that. Dick Clark didn't even know where he was. He's like, hi, rockin' I felt like they should just go up and lift the one side of his face up and
give him a whole bunch of Botox on one
You'd
side.
Think with all the special it. Effects, oh. The Imagineers at Disney could recreate Dick Clark.
I'm picturing Ryan Seacrest hosting the New Year's Eve. It's like, look, Dick Clark's back, and it's a cartoon character a la Roger Rabbit, but he'll still have the strokey voice and face.
Oh, my God.
Keep continuity.
Terrible.
This is why there's a heat wave, is because we're actually gone to hell.
I'm just thinking, like, all the effort would go into, like, and we're talking, like, really well Roger Rabbit animated, but with a real stroke face.
Jesus Christ.
So they still have to animate him defective-like?
On that note, Alex, tell me you've got something.
I've got plenty. Plenty to review. Why is it in weird news? Because we're going to start bringing back... I don't know if it's going to be Movie Madness, because that was Double D's, wasn't
yeah.
it? It'll be something similar. By the way, Double D, put us in Movie Madness, motherfucker. Anyway, we've been cultivating some relationships with content, like DVD and Blu-ray houses, and we ended up getting a bunch of stuff rolling in now, of B-movies, exploitation films, also some erotica.
Because why not?
Basically, it's stuff that was released theatrically that is treated as like art house cinema. And I thought, you know what? Fuck it. If nobody else is going to review it, why don't we review it? So one of the shows, title undecided so far, is going to be a look at, for lack of a better term, 70s porno movies. If that makes any sense, but not we're not we're talking ones that have full stories, like even sci-fi movies and stuff. And the idea will be, it's a review that contains no reviews of the actual sex. It's going to be a satirical look at the acting, the story, and everything. And then just as if we were oblivious and there was absolutely no sex in it whatsoever.
They're like, oh yeah, so this movie was great, great detective story.
Yeah, and be like, by the way, for whatever reason, there was a whole lot of nudity in this.
It took up more than half the runtime. It was really strange.
Pretty much. It's that sort of idea. It's something funny, because what the company that sent them out, Vinegar Syndrome, does is they actually have a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, like the making of these movies, audio commentaries, new commentaries, interviews with actors, actresses, producers. So it's sort of like a art house history lesson on what the industry was like at the time, which yeah. I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah, like I'm most interested to see what Alex can find out about some actors like John Holmes, who's had movies produced about Wad, Boogie Nights was loosely based on his life.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see Alex review the Johnny Wad films at some point. But also in addition to that, there's going to be... some pretty weird content. I mean, obviously, yeah. We don't endorse some of the storylines here. But as Alex said, it's satire.
Well, think about this. We've done movies like the Hulk Hogan movies that had, like, Shannon Tweed. And she does... There's really very little difference in the quality and plot lines of those 90s erotic thrillers than what these pornos in the 70s. Because people forget that they had not just porno theaters, which don't really exist anymore... At the time, in the 70s, for about a 10-year period, you could go to normal, everyday family movie theaters. Not a ton of them, but you could. at like midnight or one in the morning, and they would show a porno flick. But back then, it was an adult feature. It was like a full movie, 90 minutes, mostly with a real plot and everything. So think like what Boogie Nights, what they were trying to do in that movie, showing that era.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? If they're going to send a bunch of these out,
why not?
Why not cover it? Because I don't think anybody else is going to cover it the same way we are.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be weird. Alex will be doing this show solo. You might hear me every now and again.
There was a discussion of Alex. I don't know if we can watch this stuff together.
It's too like
and,
no.
And the thought hadn't crossed my mind that we're watching an art house picture, and he's like, an art house picture with a whole lot of dong in it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I like my art house films with money shots. So it's going to be interesting. And obviously, but we'll treat the subjects with respect.
And to pair that, that's just a small aspect. We'll alternate episodes.
Erotica to B movies.
Yeah, like they're not going to be put together in the same show for sure. But the B movies, there's a lot coming in. You know how back in the day you go to the video store and you'd have VHS or Betamax tapes of a lot of direct-to-video stuff that you never saw on TV, for one, and never got a DVD release, or if it did, it was like print-on-demand.
Limited release.
Or like, if at all, even in this country. Well, Film Chest and Vinegar Syndrome, their sister companies, they have one of the largest film archives of these films, of these genre picks like exploitation films, blaxploitation, as well as 80s horror sci-fi stuff that hasn't been released by any major studio that were independent, because remember the 80s was the peak of independent horror and sci-fi pictures.
Yeah, kind of like Full Moon and Canon stuff.
Yeah,
like
from like 84 to like 95 or so, that's the peak of the video rental craze.
Yeah, and it's only now that these independents are starting to come back.
Yeah, and exactly, and now in the days of streaming, what they've done is they've got a lot of these in 2K and 4K remasters that they're putting on a Blu-ray. So that was part of the other package they sent, was a bunch of stuff to look at. Stuff that for once, I've already watched one or two. I've watched Jack Frost. Now,
not the one with Michael Keaton.
No, but came out within like 6 months of each other. I remember seeing a VHS tape of this in the store. It was a red VHS tape with a lenticular cover.
Yeah, and
hologram. It changed from the normal snowman to the evil snowman.
Oh,
I watched it with my roommate on Blu-ray. Looks fantastic. Even has a surround sound soundtrack. Hilarious.
Oh yeah, I remember watching this movie in the 90s.
Shannon Elizabeth getting
killed.
Well, she's raped with a carrot.
Oh my god. Stuff you cannot get away with now.
You don't see the carrot. His nose, like, he melts into the bathtub and his carrot disappears. He gets up and he's humping the air with her, like she's like attached to him and she's dying. Where'd the carrot go?
Oh boy,
there's no carrot to be seen. And then he reattaches the carrot when he's done. And it's done in that trauma goofy style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never taken to be something super serious. So,
serious can you take a killer snowman, realistically?
Well, and the jokes. The jokes that they try to make fall flat. It's all the other stuff that's actually funny, which is my style of movie. So that's just one sampling. There's a bunch of other ones, and we'll start releasing them because they're the forgotten movies, really. Like, that is probably the most well-known of the bunch that I received.
And Dolomite.
And Dolomite being sort of the granddaddy of the blaxploitation action star movie.
You also got Hobgoblins, which I'm 90% sure was done on MST3K.
A couple of them might have been, but there's some stuff in there I have never heard of but they don't look like a lot of the direct-to-video stuff in the late 90s, early 2000s, and even now is really, really cheaply done and garbage. It's back in the day when direct-to-video still had a budget.
Yeah.
So, like, we're going to probably check out Death Row Game Show.
Slaughterhouse.
And these look like B-movies when B-movies were fun.
Yeah, so like I said, this is very much in the era of Canon and Full Moon Entertainment, stuff like that. You'll recognize a lot of these titles as being on the shelf from the big boxes. So I think Alex has got himself a little fun project. And also in weird news, to bring this up, I am considering, and likely will, I'm going to resurrect Twig's Botched Role. What is Botched Role? Well, you guys know how we do the Cambridge Chronicles and you hear us on Terrible Warriors, which is the role-playing game show that we do. Botched Role was my stories and interviews with people in the role-playing game industry. So I might bring that show back to talk about different role-playing games, some strategies, some tips, and just some musings on the RPG industry, because now that I've had a chance to play 40, 50 hours with Tristan and Alex, I've learned a few things, such as I have this carefully constructed world with a lived-in feel and awesome NPCs, and Alex's first thing, can I fuck it?
Well, sort of. Not always.
Tristan's bag of bears.
Can I fuck it? Or you'll introduce something that seems to be just in the periphery, not important, but for whatever reason, the way you made it sound, I thought it was important, so I go with that, and you're like, but we're doing this. And I'd be like, no, but this sounds like it's important. And then you're like, well, I can't let him know that it's not important, so we're going to go with it.
Yep. Fucking basilisks. So stuff like that. So you can look forward to some new programming coming out on Twig as we enjoy as what I'm going to dub right now, the Summer of Stupidity.
It's the summer of reviewing things at home in the, when it's air conditioned and cold because it sucks in the summer and I fucking hate summer.
Yeah, summer can suck my
summer
balls.
And winter can die. Why can't we just have like October weather all year?
Eternal autumn. I would be so happy.
Oh my god.
We can have 2 weeks of really cold with snow for Christmas time and we can have 2 weeks of really hot in the summer so that we can go to the pool and vacation. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else should be April showers. And winter, or sorry, fall cool breezes.
That's perfect. What I would enjoy. I just want hoodie weather. So, anyway, guys, we're going to take a break here on Twig, and we're going to throw things over to my review of the Lego Incredibles game. And, well, hopefully you've had a chance to see this movie in theaters, because if you've played the game, well, go listen to my review. We'll be back, guys, right after this, and Satan's Pantry right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry. And of course, as we decide to walk down the devil's grocery aisle, I'm not alone as I endeavor in this internationally themed episode. I'm joined with...
Alex.
That's right. And we actually have to thank one of our super fans, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Jennifer McMiler. I hope I said your name right. She is the one who's drawn some wonderful artwork of me and my mom, me and my grandfather and grandmother. She's been a wonderful fan of the show, both of Terrible Warriors and Twig. And so she sent us some stuff for Satan's Pantry. And what we're trying today is sort of the sequel-esque, the Electric Boogaloo to Meme Sauce, which was the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce from McDonald's, you may have heard a little while ago. This one is, we're trying the Rick and Morty pickle-flavored dark chocolate. I think this was an FYE exclusive.
That sounds amazing to me.
It's so weird. So, I'm going to crack the package.
Okay, do it.
230 calories per two. There are two servings in this for half a bar. That's not terrible, actually.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to... Oh, it's so weird. Oh, I'm smelling it. It's very, very dill pickly. Holy shit.
Good thing I like dill.
Oh, and I love dark chocolate, too.
You can crack me a piece?
Yep. Okay. Oh, looks like... There we go.
All right,
so I've handed Alex one. I also have one.
That's... Weird.
It's good. It's good quality chocolate because the way it breaks and it's warm.
All right, I'm gonna take a bite.
All right, go for it.
Om nom 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 nom.
What do you think?
It's not very pickly. It is definitely dark chocolate, so it's not bitter, but not very sweet.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm tasting more dark chocolate than anything.
But the smell was stronger.
Yeah. I'm putting more in my mouth to see if I can get more pickle.
That's what she said?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's weird. You open up the package, and you smell this incredible rush of dill pickle.
You know what? It doesn't have that salty, like, fake dill pickle kernel shaker sort of taste.
See, that's what I was expecting.
It's like, it tastes like that if you removed all the salt.
So I've eaten half a bar so far. I don't taste any pickle.
I have it's a hint of it. It's like if you had... You know when you make dill seasoning, but you don't have any salt? It really... It's missing that really sharp vinegary taste.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm expecting.
It has the dill. It just doesn't have the vinegar.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Rick and Morty's Pickle Rick dark flavored chocolate. I'm going to actually break Alex... off here another couple pieces here, so we'll each have 1.5.
All right.
And then we'll save the rest for Tristan and Lee. But overall,
they get nothing.
I don't know. If you want a chocolate bar, you could do a lot worse.
I just went and made a one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I went to sniff my microphone to see if it smelled like dill, and then went, nope, that's not food.
Yeah, don't eat that.
That's not food at all.
Oh wait, there's the pickle. It only took a chocolate bar and a half, or half a bar, I mean, for me to get it.
It's a bit there, but it's really not strong.
Yeah, so if you want to try this, you would have to look at your local FYEs to find it. But otherwise, it's just a Rick and Morty flavored oddity.
Do you know what I think would almost be the same?
What?
Pick up a bag of no-name brand dill pickle chips. Can you get them in the States, or is that Canada only?
That's a Canada thing.
Okay, come to Canada, pick up some dill pickle chips, and then bite into a semi-dark chocolate bar.
Or like a Mars bar or something.
Or if you don't want to get the chips in it, basically dump out the bag, but then wipe the chocolate bar in the dust at the bottom.
Oh, no, you get that sprinkle stuff.
That's really salty, though.
Yeah, it's true. Damn. So hard.
But yeah, like I think just the residue on the bag would do it.
Yeah, so there you have Rick and Morty's pickle-flavored dark chocolate. Disappointing is what I'm going to say, but thank you to Jennifer who sent this to us. Satan's Pantry thanks you for making us not vomit.
Interesting, but disappointing.
Standing here with a bunch of idiots, fuck you all.
We are looking at Warner Brothers Games Lego Incredibles, available on the Xbox One. And as you can guess, there's a new movie in theaters with Pixar's Incredibles finally returning after over a decade. And I gotta say, I haven't seen the movie, I played the game, so now I kinda know what happens. That's not necessarily a bad thing. So what is LEGO Incredibles? Well, you play out basically the Incredibles franchise with LEGO characters. So you kind of know what to expect. Cutesy, fun, LEGO-ized versions of the events from the movie, kind of playing out beat for beat. But what I find about the LEGO's Incredible game in particular is this game is really, really easy. And it's not like the LEGO games are known for their extreme difficulty curves or anything of the sort. No, this one is literally a game you can sit down, beat in an afternoon if you really want to, playing through almost all of its campaign missions, and even getting all of its collectibles is really, really easy as the game splits it up into districts from the city, and you can see what's available, whether they're gold bricks, red bricks, or whatever. You can also stop random crimes, too. You can also unlock a whole plethora of Incredibles characters, but you can also unlock Pixar characters. My favorite one that I like to play as, because I really love the franchise, is Dory. So I'm literally playing as a fish swimming around on water, kicking the crap out of people. But you also may play as the main characters, such as Elastigirl, Mr. Incredible, Dash, and Violet, who have different powers and abilities. And then they can build things in the world, which allow you to unlock different secrets or more collectibles. Basically, it's your typical LEGO game. I mean, what do you really expect? And with a name like The Incredibles, especially considering how far the LEGO games have come, when you look at the success of LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 and all the things you could do in that, LEGO Incredibles feels terribly average, if I had to say. In fact, even a little bit below average. It's not that it's a bad game. It's just not exceptional. And I suspected something with the Disney license and the Pixar license would do something really, really, really awesome. What I got here was a game that's really easy to get all the achievements in. And something that a little kid might enjoy, but if you're an adult LEGO player, I might say wait for this game to go on sale. If it gets a deep discount, it might be worth picking up. Because that's not to say there's not fun to be had in this game, but you're not going to find the same level of enjoyment that you get out of, say, a LEGO Jurassic Park or LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 or even the upcoming LEGO Supervillains later on. So LEGO Incredibles gets a wait for sale, or maybe give this game a rent if you want to pick it up. And that's our recommendation from us here at This Week in Geek. And that is our show for this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed us on the Summer of Stupidity Tour. Big thanks to Jen for coming up from Michigan to experience Canada Day with us, share a little bit of Americana with us, and I'm sure we'll have more Satan's Pantries from her as the weeks and months progress here on the show. Coming up on the show this week, we should have a Turd or Treasure coming out. at some point during the week. Tristan, what do you got coming up on YouTube this week?
YouTube, I am taking my channel in a new direction, still focused on gaming, of course, but there's an ongoing plague on YouTube of tutorial videos and explanations for the things you want to know, taking about 3 minutes to actually get to the subject matter you clicked on the video in the first place. So I'm going to make videos to explain the concepts that you need to know in 3 minutes or less. Get straight to the point.
So basically, because they're trying to pad out their stuff for ads or whatever garbage they're trying to hawk.
10 minutes plus videos so they can get the extra ad revenue in there. So you end up with a 30-second intro video with dubstep or whatever they're doing now.
And, it's like,
and then a life story for 2.5 minutes.
Check me out on this skin loot box thing. Look what I can win. Look what you can win.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this. You know, if you're commenting down below with your favorite Smash character from like whatever, button. You can enter this giveaway right now. And we'll be doing the giveaway now. Winners will be announced in 2 weeks, whatever.
Look at my Ferrari. Look at it. I read a book a day.
I hate that fucking guy. Ty Lopez.
I was really hoping that somebody was going to kidnap him and murder him and it would be all over like 4chan. Like, that's one of the few people I've ever thought that of other than like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, like,
I have a scathing hate for that douchebag.
That and the milk guy. He's this Chinese bodybuilder dude and he's like, look how buff I am. And his videos are 15 minute ads. I can't remember the guy's name. Chang or
not
something?
Not Dr. Ho, the guy that has the local TV access stuff here?
No, it was like Mike Chang or something.
And it's like he plays up his stereotype. He really does. Because he doesn't...
Well,
I've seen him do interviews. He doesn't talk like that.
Which is really weird. Yeah. So, anyway, guys, hopefully you will enjoy the show this week. Like I said, please go check out the interview we did with Ed DeSock and Leanna Kay. Don't forget to contribute to their Indiegogo if you want to see Canadian Irreverence return to television, or at least our own little corner of the internet where we can be stupid together and enjoy each other's company. So, until next time, for This Week in Geek, we have been...
Mr. Christopher.
And Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live free or die hard. We'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the fuck. Ha
ha! Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me likey tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at ThisWeekInGeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Testing right in the middle of my chest to see if this sounds a little bit better and more consistent.
Isn't that where you like it right in the middle of your chest?
Oh, absolutely. Right between my moobs.
I liked when you put your shoulder blades up and we have a spot to aim like a goalpost.